Do you understand that there, if there is anything that I ever say to you or anything the scriptures ever say to you that you can do, it's not of God? If I can tell you anything that you can accomplish, it's not of God. You ever listen to the Sermon on the Mount? Sermon on the Mount makes no sense. You know what the Sermon on the Mount is? It's a whole bunch of stuff if you want to read it. It's Matthew 5 verse 3 till Matthew 7 verse 27. Well, let me check on that. 7 verse 27. Luther said of the Sermon on the Mount, he said, if you feel rich and important and elevated at the beginning, you will feel poor and wretched and naked at the end of the sermon. That's what Martin Luther said about the Sermon on the Mount. If you feel successful and spiritual and right at the beginning of the sermon, you will feel wretched, poor, and naked at the end of it. Everything that's said to you by any source, you take it as something that you either can do or can't do. I mean, listen to these words. The first words of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do any of you ever hunger and thirst after righteousness? Mm-hmm. Blessed are they that are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Do you understand that Christ was not crucified for saying or doing things that made sense? He was crucified for saying and doing the things that made no sense. He was crucified for saying and doing those things that made no sense at that time, or this time, or any other time. He was crucified for following a way that runs counter to all cultures, to your culture, to the prevailing culture. The Sermon on the Mount, if believed and lived, makes us totally different from any other people on the face of the earth. What makes sense to everybody else is revealed to be opposed 180 degrees from what we believe. In order for the Sermon on the Mount to make sense, it only makes sense in the context of a community, of a family, of a people. Christ said throughout the Sermon on the Mount, you have heard such and such and such, but I say unto you. Now, if you're a Pharisee, you will say, well, where it says you have heard, he's talking about the law. But if you read it, he's not talking about the law. He's talking about whatever you have heard is the way to be successful in this particular arena, in this culture. You have heard,
But I say unto you, you have heard that if you abandon yourself and obey the impulse of that moment, everything will be valuable and good and right, and you'll get everything right, and everybody will be happy, and you'll be a hero to everybody. But I say unto you, unless your heart is totally and completely pure without the slightest instinct of self-preservation or self of any kind, you'll go to hell. You have heard. What have you heard here? You have heard. But he says unto you something totally different. He makes the demand so total that you can't possibly conform. You can't possibly do it. Harry has heard that if he would only do this and thus and so, then when the opportunity comes for a form, then everything will be right. But Christ comes along and says, but I say unto you, that's not the case. Be ye perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. The world says unto you, get a cause. Let's be in favor of solving the homeless crisis. Get another cause. Let's be in favor of feeding the poor. Get another cause. Let's be in favor of having a community. The world will love you. But I say unto you, unless you're perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect, you're going to hell. You've heard, but I say unto you. You have heard, but I say unto you. You have heard, but I say unto you. I know each of you well enough to know what you have heard. You understand? You have heard something. But he says unto you, the Sermon on the Mount, if understood, is totally and completely absurd. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Resist not evil. You have heard, but I say unto you. What God is constantly doing to us, he is constantly putting us in a position where we think we have heard, but we end up finding out we've heard nothing. He is continually putting us in the position of the small child that knows nothing. You have heard, but I say unto you. Read the Sermon on the Mount and see how many times that contrast was given. You have heard, but I say unto you. If Jesus had said what you want him to say today, tonight, if he had said what you want him to say, if he had said what the modern religion wants him to say and says he said, if he had said what the preachers want him to say, if he had said what Tilton has made him say, we would have made him a king instead of crucify him. Do you understand? You crucified him because you have heard, but I say unto you. You've heard, but I say unto you. Jesus never once made a common sense claim, but you want to have a common sense God. You want to have a common sense rules, a rule of behavior. You have heard, but I say unto you. Jesus never makes common sense claims. You know what Jesus does? He presents us and allows us to see a God in him who we could not possibly have conceived of if we were left to our own devices. You understand that? No matter how far we go, we will have created a God in our own image. But Christ comes along and he presents to us a God that we could not have conceived of if left to our own devices. I've told you so often that if I were God, I wouldn't have done it like this. If I were God, the first thing I would do is I would abolish all pain. The second thing I do is I would try to meet, if I were God, I would snap my fingers and I would cause me to be everything that Tyra wants me to be. It's mind-blowingly painful to me that I'm not what Tyra wants me to be. She can touch me like no one else in the face of the earth can. It's mind-blowingly painful to me that God isn't what Harry wants him to be. I didn't want to chew Harry out tonight. I wanted Harry to get it right, and I wanted me to get it right so that we'd finally have a forum after all these years. You have heard, but I say unto you. What have you heard? If whatever you've heard can't possibly take it as far as the Sermon on the Mount did. You know, if I were God, I'd have had a position where Lee and Doug would have been happy and everybody would have been wonderful and Lee would have been fulfilled. I would have done it so that Tylene and Ed would have been perfectly suited for each other. If I were God, I would create a universe in which Angela would never feel any heartache. You have heard, but I say unto you. What's he doing? What in the hell is he doing? If I were God, I would have made this universe so that right now, tonight, that September would know that she believes and never have another doubt. I would cause it to know that John would never feel a need again and he would be strong and could meet everybody's need around him. I would create it so this John would be fulfilled and happy and complete in everything he's ever set his hand to do. But that's not the universe that we've created. There's something else going on here. You have heard, but I say unto you. God is doing is creating a family. He's creating a people that slowly but surely know they can't live without each other. If I would have been God, I would have created a universe in which it would have been a reward for heroic individualism, because that's sort of, I love that kind of image. I like to be a mountain climber and alone and all that stuff. You've heard, but I say unto you, no. You need to know how much you need these people 24 hours a day. You've heard what I say unto you. The Sermon on the Mount is really absurd if you read it. It's really dumb. The Sermon on the Mount makes Mother Teresa look like a whore. The Sermon on the Mount makes all the homeless, our efforts to solve the homeless crisis look like total self-gratification. The Sermon on the Mount says, "You've heard, but I say unto you." The Sermon on the Mount has but one goal, and that's to create a visible family, a visible community, to take a group of people that are strangers and alienated from each other and create a bond so close that nothing on the face of heaven or hell could separate them. That's what the Sermon on the Mount does. I mean, face it, I mean, I'd have done this totally different. I'd have created a world in which where there was no hunger. I'd have created a world in which there was no crime, no child abuse. Do you know that time after time after time, in the grand jury, we're seeing cases of 3 and 4 and 5 year old children with syphilis and gonorrhea caused by child abuse, sexual abuse, and AIDS. We had a case the other day where the guy had sexual relations with a 5 year old boy and given him AIDS. I'd have created a world where that wasn't possible. You've heard, but I say unto you, God is creating a family, people who, those strangers, slowly but surely are getting to know that this is the most important place in the universe and the most important people in the universe, that they lay down their life for him above all else. You have heard, but I say unto you. Christ was crucified for running counter to every possible belief that you or any other human being could have. Who cares if you fail? That's not what we're about. We're about being knit together as a people in love. Who cares if you don't get it right tomorrow? Who cares? I thank God more than I can ever tell you for letting me know that I was a failure. If I hadn't been a failure, then this group of people could never have existed. If I hadn't gotten everything that I ever tried to do wrong, then we would never have been. I would only exhort you to know that your acceptance before God and in the eyes of God isn't dependent on your performance ever again. It's not dependent how well you can believe, how well you can handle NBC. How long your ponytail is. It's only through message in a nonviolent community, it's only through membership in a nonviolent community that this message of the Sermon on the Mount can ever be understood.
Nonviolent?
We are a people that can't condone violence in any way among each other. You understand that?
Yeah.
There's no type of violence that is condoned among us.
I don't understand. Even the least thing.
I had an argument yesterday. She wanted me to do something. It's not to make her look real bad. It's the smallest thing you can imagine. She wanted me to do something. And her way of getting me to do it was to be mean to me. And to get me to do it. And I, of course, flipped right out.
And the meanness is violence.
Yeah, and turning your back on someone is even violent.
But it just seems like in the course of being who we are, we're mean and violent all the time.
Yeah, but it's never rewarded.
Yeah,
this is the only environment. This is the only environment on the face of the earth where violence is never rewarded. If you think about that, you'll see it's true. Because in other environments, self-preservation is the thing that's rewarded. Men will speak well of thee when thou doest good to thyself. The Sermon on the Mount says directly that we as isolated individuals do not have the capacity to be faithful disciples. The Sermon on the Mount says that you're a two-bit disciple, that you're not worth shit except as a body. But you cannot do this. You cannot make it. Read the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard, but I say unto you, that's what you'll see and hear over and over and over again. Pull yourself out of the dimension and see that all that God is doing in us is creating a people, creating a family, that the institutions and the instances and the isolated events of that process are meaningless. You have heard, but I say unto you, each one of you want to be successful in your individual quests. God has promised you, you'll be a failure. You have heard, but I say unto you. You know how we serve the world? We don't serve it by... We serve the world by showing it something that it is not. That's the only thing that we can show anybody. If we ever think we have a program or an anti-program, then we are in the wrong business. In the process of all this, we have learned something. We're supposed to be studying forgiveness and truces, if you remember. Because that's the test. We've learned how incredibly difficult it is to forgive. And how impossible it is to receive forgiveness. You have heard, but I say unto you. Understand? Do you think in the economy of God, whether or not Harry has puffed on a cigarette means it's jack shit?
Is it a dog or a child?
That's upstairs. That's an Angela. That's an Angela relative up there screaming.
Another one of those bunker children.
What God cares about is to whether or not any member of that community believes that he is separate. Whether a member of that community believes that he condemns what he approves. Well, that means I can go smoke all I want to. No, it doesn't. That means I should stop smoking. That's what you've heard. You have heard it means I should stop smoking. You have heard that I can smoke all I want to. It doesn't mean either one. But I say unto you, lay down your life for your brethren. Be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. You have heard. What have you heard? I promise you've heard it wrong. Let's read some of the stuff. We've read the Beatitudes, which are 3 through 12. Now let's go on.
We did?
Sure we did.
Well, we'll start in 11. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you. Right. Yeah, right.
Wait, where are you? 5:11.
Matthew 5, verse 11. Stop a minute. Much less men, how about the rabbi? If the rabbi ever reviles you or persecutes you, the last thing you think of is you're blessed.
Or
I'm blessed.
Dang.
Right?
Thrice blessed.
Thrice.
If your spouse or your girlfriend or your maybe girlfriend or your lack of girlfriend or anybody in the world persecutes you, yeah, praise God, I'm blessed.
Yay, they're dumping on me. Okay.
Yeah, I'm about to get fired from my job and I can't do it right and everything's wrong here, but praise God, I'm blessed. Yeah, right, right.
His sake.
Doesn't matter. You can't be anything but for his sake. Okay. Blessed are you. You know what blessed means? Those of you who've been here a while know. No. The word blessed in the Hebrew is Barak, and in the Greek is Makarios. And in both cases, it means a state of being that can only be if you're dead. It means not subject to the vagaries of fate. Not subject to fate. Not subject to the luck of the draw. Not subject to luck. Not subject to anything except the purposed will of God. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted you the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Yeah, right. Well, that may be all right for somebody else, but my God, can you imagine?
It's like if somebody really did this stuff, to be sure they were just faking it.
Think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot nor tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it shall be said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. You have heard, thou shalt not kill. There is no society in the universe where the killing is rewarded. All of them have a lesson against killing. You have heard that it shall that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Now, the way that's written in English, it sounds weird, because it sounds like you can say who's ever angry with your brother for a cause is not in danger, right? But the way it says it in the Greek is whosoever is angry for any reason against his brother, for which there's really no cause to be angry at him. In other words, it's impossible to be angry for a cause. Whosoever shall say to his brother Raka shall be in danger of the council. Anybody know what Raka means?
Idiot, like a
redeemable. Useless, unredeemable piece of dirt.
Unredeemable. That's the key. In other words, if you're consigning them to hell. Whosoever shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou... No, you never say, thou fool, shall you? I mean, you never do that. Every time someone turns in front of you when you're driving and you scream at them, you're saying, thou fool. You understand? Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge and the judge deliver thee to the officer and thee be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Do you understand? If you go down to the seminary and check out all the books on the Sermon on the Mount, what every one of them will do in some way or another is sanitize it. They will in some way cause you or themselves to believe that these are doable things. They will so define the words or so define the context that it will imply to you that it's doable if only you're good enough. And all of them are full of shit. You have heard that it should said by time of old, them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that thou one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Well, let's take that one literal. That's nice for the literalist friends. Let's go on down to verse 43. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise in the evil and the good, and ascendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. All through chapter 6, chapter 7, take no thought for your life. Take no thought for tomorrow. Judge not. The golden rule, conditions of prayer, all of them are impossible, except in the context of causing you to see your need of the brethren. Amen? Amen. Christ was not crucified for saying reasonable things. That's enough. When he finished the Sermon on the Mount in verse 28, it says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings that people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." But I highly recommend that you read Matthew 5:3 to Matthew 7:27, 28. That's what's called the Sermon on the Mount. See how many times it said, "You have heard, but I say." It's just a continuum of pushing us towards the idea of what community or family really is. If we ever try to do it, if you ever try to preach togetherness, or preach community, you can't do it. You can only preach the cross. Take it large person.